Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name's Ruben Nava. My partner, Jesse Romero, he will be with us shortly. Jesse's out doing some apostolic work. He will be with us, like I said, hopefully before the second segment comes on. But good morning. We have a good show today. We're going to be talking about the Antichrist and what's going on in society. And is this all leading up to that, what we're seeing? And then also, after wave of church attacks, in the final segments, we'll be talking about the church attacks and what the bishops are requesting be done about them. So we want to start with a prayer. Let's start with the prayer that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano wrote for us, for the nation, for the president. And we're getting close, ladies and gentlemen. This is, the time is upon us, and we can't be on the sidelines. We have to be out there in the battle, and we have to bring people to vote. If they're you gotta get with 10 to 20 people and family and friends, and make sure they're registered to vote and they know what they're voting for. Okay, it's no longer we can't just say, oh well, we live in California. You know, in my case, we can't live in California, so it's a moot point. You know, our vote is wasted. No, we can't think like that. Okay, I see the state. People are getting fed up with it, and tons of people are moving out, leaving the state. They're fleeing. It's a mass exodus, actually. A lot of my friends in law enforcement that retired are moving. And I'll tell you what, but when I see all these Trump rallies, I have to think that the state is going from blue to purple. You know, blue and red make purple, so it's purple, and I'm hoping that it just keeps on going all the way to red. I think people are starting to really be fed up with what's going on with the leadership here, and so let's get with this prayer. Let's pray in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, citizens of the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us so that they may commit themselves to the common good in respect for your holy law. Protect those who, defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments, must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in the hearts of your children courage for the truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example that our Lord has given us, together with His Most Holy Mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth. Give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which you have blessed them. Give courage to those in spiritual combat. Fight the good fight as soldiers of Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America so that, aware of his responsibility and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praise rises to you, O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. So let's get into this. There's an article that we're referencing, and it's talking about what's been going on the last several weeks, you know, and the author says that I've watched a number of video presentations given by highly credible physicians and scientists who, using the government's own data and guidelines, are calling into question the wisdom of implementing COVID-19 lockdowns. The gatekeepers of information responded by banning many of them, forcing those who still value the scientific method, which is the accumulation of objective data through observation, the formulation of hypotheses, the conducting of experiments, the weighing of results, and based on these, drawing of conclusions. But these gatekeepers, you know, they're not allowing this to happen. And so, you know, they're retreating to other alternative platforms. So it occurs to me that these videos, the author says, are very much like those detailing the disgusting reality of the genocidal procedure known as abortion. In other words, it seems rather plain that fear-mongering the Corona Nazis and their supporters are no more willing to consider a genuine scientific explanation of virology or virology and immunology than a radical pro-abortionist is willing to view the horrors of an actual abortion. You know, I might comment that if you saw the debate between the vice president and Kamala Harris, and she started throwing at him, we believe in science, and you know and they could refer to that for climate change and then for this COVID. But I wish somebody would just tell him, hey, what about science that tells us emphatically that that's a baby in the womb? How come you don't believe that science? And if it's not a baby, then why are you harvesting body parts, right? You know, they can't answer that. No one. I want to hear people, you know, present that question to them, because they're going to be stuttering. So when this COVID-19 nightmare began, there were many in the pro-life community who, having succumbed to fear of the unknown and the media's nonstop predictions of doom, were very much in favor of closing businesses, suspending recreational and religious activities, sheltering in place. As a matter of fact, you know, there's doctors now that are from the CDC, they're saying, man, this is not the right way to do it. You know, it's not letting us build up our immunities, and you know, where they call it herd immunity. And it's a travesty that kids aren't in school and they're the least likely to succumb to this. But this is all politics. So he goes on, as time has passed and the reality of the situation has become clearer, however, that number appears to have dwindled considerably. As more time goes by, it seems reasonable to expect that eventually practically every single Corona Nazi will also be a card-carrying supporter of Planned Parenthood and other such operations, i.e. the two sides will more closely come to the identified along strict political party lines. In fact, we're very close to that being the situation right now. I've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it. We have people that will just not leave home. They've got their masks on. They're living in fear. You know, we believe in faith over fear, you know. God's divine providence, you know, God's in charge. So, and what's the common thread shared by the Corona Nazi pro-abortion positions? Okay, this is the common thread that they have. We can name many, but at the heart of each of these positions lies a willful refusal to even consider the truth that is readily perceptible to the intellect, a posture that necessarily includes an unwillingness to conform one's opinions and actions in accord with said truth using the gift of reason. And it truly is a gift. You know, God provided us with that. In other words, in spite of any claims to the contrary, the Corona Nazis among us reject the one true God who in Christ Jesus is truth and logos incarnate. Logos is the word, okay? So sure, there are exceptions like those who are genuinely high risk from COVID-19 and may be overzealous in foistering their fears and concerns upon the broader society, but it appears to me that this is largely how things are shaking out. In modern parlance, the word faith has come to mean nothing more than an emotion or more sentiment that is incapable of being articulated in a reasonable way. Indeed, religious faith has come to be seen as something unreasonable, as more adults in Western countries identify as having no religion whatsoever, supposedly enlightened by modern science, which is based on so-called observable evidence. And, you know, to go back to St. John Henry Cardinal Newman, he noticed this over a century ago when he wrote that for many, religion consists not in knowledge, but in feeling or sentiment. Okay, religion consists not in knowledge, but in feeling or sentiment. The old Catholic notion, which still lingers in the established church, was that faith was an intellectual act its object truth and its results knowledge. But how many of our friends and peers hold to this old Catholic notion, and that goes for those that are non-theists as well as Catholic Christians? Even some of our own brothers and sisters in the faith seem to divorce faith from reason. The Church, as St. John Newman points out, has continually maintained that faith in God is not opposed to reason in any way, and is as much an act of the intellect as is the study of human history or the natural sciences. And the author to the Hebrews, which many believe is St. Paul, writes, "Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him," Hebrews 11:16. Okay? So that's what the letter to the Hebrews says. So continue with the article. But religion and politics are two separate things, right? To imagine that religion should be, or even possibly be, removed from politics, it's utterly laughable. And it's a position derived directly from the notion that the state must be separated from the church. And that's a thesis that, by the way, that Pope St. Pius X called absolutely false. It's a most pernicious error. Okay, so we as Catholics, we don't believe in the separation of church and state. When you go back to what the Pope Pius X said. Anyway, we're gonna hear the music. We're going to pick up on the other side of this and talk a little bit more about this fear of this COVID and bring in the Antichrist. Okay. We'll be right back. You're just listening to Jesus 911. God bless.
Leviticus 11:44 says, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy." St. Vincent Pilate said, "You must be holy in the way God asks you to be holy." God does not ask you to be a Trappist monk or a hermit. He wants you to sanctify the world and your everyday life. May God show us the path to holiness and help us to follow it all the days of our life.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. One-man car temporarily. My partner's on his way. He's in briefing right now. And I'm out there 10-8, open for calls. And remember, we're both retired LASD deputy sheriffs, so we like to think of that acronym now to mean love and sacrifice daily, or leave all sin destroyed. Thank you for being with us. We're talking about this COVID and the fear that's going on, and is this leading up to the Antichrist? And so we talked about what Pope St. Pius X said, that this separation of church and state is not a Catholic thing. Okay, so the bottom line here, folks, COVID-19, it's real, right? It is. I've lost a family member from it, but it's being leveraged by the ruling class as an excuse for tightening its grip over nearly every aspect of their subjects' lives, public, private, economic, recreational, and religious, with the latter being ground zero, and you thought it was Wuhan or New York City. No, they're using this, ladies and gentlemen, to attack all our civil liberties here. And truly, this is the battle between the godly and the godless. It's a precursor to the end times, is what the author of this article says. Even if only a dry run for that which will usher in the days of the Antichrist, a man understood by the saints and doctors of the church as a tyrannical figure who will demand to be worshipped as God. St. John Damascene, he described the days of the Antichrist as follows. During the first part of his reign, of his tyranny rather, he plays more the part of sanctity. But when he gains complete control, he persecutes the church of God and reveals all his wickedness. St. Hildegard von Bingen said of the Antichrist, he will ally himself with the kings, the princesses, the powerful ones of the earth. And St. Thomas Aquinas said, as in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead, so in the Antichrist the fullness of all wickedness. And you know, I can quote some other saints that have said some really pretty clear things about it. And one of them was a Saint Hippolytus. It's one of the church fathers, actually. He said, the deceiver seeks to liken himself in all things to the Son of God. Christ is a lion, so Antichrist is also a lion. Christ is a king, so the Antichrist is also a king. The Savior was manifested as a lamb in John 1:29, so he too, in like manner, will appear as a lamb, though within he is a wolf. The Savior came into the world in the circumcision, and he will come in the same manner. The Lord sent apostles among all the nations, and he will send false apostles. So the Savior gathered together the sheep that were scattered abroad, and in like manner will bring together a people that is scattered abroad. The Lord gave a seal to those who believed on him, and he will give one like manner. And what you see, what's going on in the church, you know, there's so much confusion. You know, and Our Lady talked about it, that cardinals will oppose cardinals and bishops opposing bishops and priests and vice versa, and, you know, all the way down. We're not getting any clarity from our leaders, from headquarters. That's one of the things when you're in the military, you're in law enforcement. One of the things you need is a clear directive, clear leadership. You got to know what the mission is. And right now, our church is floundering. You have, God bless them, you have priests that are out there, like the, you know, Father James Altman and the like, you know, Father Heilman, Monsignor Pope. You get a lot of good priests like that. And then you have priests like the Fathers James Martin and those bishops that are supporting him, and then just what the Holy Father is coming out with lately, and that could be a whole nother show. But it's just confusion, you know. And you know, we're the church militant, and so we would expect our orders to come from the top in a clear, concise, you know, manner in which we can carry them out. And it's just not happening. We're being deceived in a sense. And St. Irenaeus pointed out that the angel Gabriel said in Daniel 12:7, his tyranny will last 3 years and 6 months, is what Irenaeus said. Bridget of Sweden said, "The time of Antichrist will near when the measure of injustice will overflow and when wickedness has grown to immense proportions, when the Christians love heresies and unjust trample underfoot the servants of God and tread spiritually and justice underfoot." We see that happening now. The Orthodox, those who speak out that are love Holy Mother Church, are being censored and they're being condemned and put out the pasture. And listen to what, in the early 19th century, Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich said. She saw this. "When the time of the reign of the Antichrist is near, a false religion will appear which will be opposed to the unity of God and His church. This will cause the greatest schism the world has ever known. The nearer the time of the end, the more the darkness of Satan will spread on earth. The greater will be the number of the children of corruption, and the number of the just will correspondingly diminish." So remember, so the number of the just will correspondingly diminish. Jesus said, "When I come back, when I return, will I find any faith on earth?" Right? We have to be part of that remnant, okay? That remnant that he wants to find when he comes back. And Pope St. Pius X, he saw society already suffering a terrible sickness. The disease, it's apostasy. I can't say that. Apostasy from God. The man putting himself in the place of God is the distinguishing mark of the Antichrist, raising himself above all that is called God. And the last one I'll read is, in the 19th century, Blessed Anna Maria Taigi revealed, "Whole nations will join the church shortly before the reign of the Antichrist. These conversions will be amazing. Those who survive shall have a conduct, will have to conduct themselves well. There shall be innumerable conversions of heretics who will return to the bosom of the church. All will note the edifying conduct of their lives, as well as that of other Catholics. Russia, England, and China will come into the church." Wow. That's saying something. You know, Russia and China, both communist countries. So let's go back to the article. Those are some of the things that the saints are saying about the Antichrist. And we're putting this together with what's going on out here in our own society. So these reflections suggest that the Antichrist will be an inversion. Our Lord Christ the King, He will present Himself as the real King of Kings, a sovereign imbued with evil to whom the rulers of the earth will be subject, a tyrant who exercises control over the nations, through them deceiving the masses, persecuting the church and her faithful, and demanding the worship that is due to God alone. Hey, good morning, Jesse.
I'm reporting for duty, sir.
All right. We're down at the bottom part of the article.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
Let me jump in and mention something. Ruben, you know somebody else who also talked about the Antichrist? Maybe one of these shows, what we'll do is, he's on YouTube, we'll put him on. It's Venerable Fulton Sheen. He gave a very specific a description of the Antichrist. And when you listen to Fulton Sheen in 1948, it's scary what he says.
Almost prophetic, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read what Fulton Sheen says, Ruben. It's very short.
Okay.
In 1948, Venerable Fulton Sheen said the following, quote, "Satan will set up a counter church, will be the ape of the church. It will have all the notes and characteristics of the church, but in reverse, and emptied of its divine content. The false prophet will have a religion without a cross, a religion without a world to come, a religion to destroy religions. There will be a counterfeit church. Christ's church will be one, and the false prophet will create the other. The false church will be worldly, ecumenical, and global. It will be a loose federation of churches and religions forming some type of global association, a world parliament of churches. It will be emptied of all divine content. It will be the mystical body of the Antichrist. The mystical body on earth today will have its Judas Iscariot, and he will be the false prophet. Satan will recruit him from our bishops." So Fulton Sheen is saying that, you know, there's different theories where the Antichrist is going to come from. Fulton Sheen said in 1948, it's going to come from our bishops. I very interesting. Other church fathers say he'll be Jewish. He'll be from the tribe of Dan. Other fathers will say that he, some fathers say he'll come out of Syria. I'm looking at some of the church fathers here. But the fact is, I'll tell you why Fulton Sheen's prophecy, it concerns me, because most people, I don't know if they know, he said that Joseph Stalin was going to die, and a week after Venerable Fulton Sheen said that, Joseph Stalin dropped dead.
Wow.
Yeah, so when Fulton Sheen says that the Antichrist will come from our bishops, all I could say is, whoa, one of the successors of the apostles. That's huge, Ruben.
Yeah, it is. And you see with the, they're pushing us towards that one world order, you know. And
absolutely. That's what he was talking about.
That's.
And I'll tell you who's really behind this. I mean, the money behind this is Bill Gates. In fact, Bill Gates, there's an article I'm looking at. It says Bill Gates is the savior for a new world order. That's his big push, mm-hmm. globalism.
Yeah.
And also, I just read that Bill Gates is also, he's dropped $1 billion to cover planet Earth with total video surveillance via satellites. So Bill Gates can see basically every sector of planet Earth through his $1 billion plan of video surveillance. Why would he want to do that, Ruben?
You know, I have no idea, but I know he's all about population control and he's a businessman too. So he's pushing this, the cure for the COVID, and that's why he was waiting for it to come out. He was saying it's going to take about 18 months. When this whole thing broke, he says, "Oh, it's not going to be ready for about 18 months." So his minions were trying to keep us locked down until that 18 months, so that we could. You know, we could run to his vaccine, and be able to be released from our lockdowns. And it's just wicked. He's an atheist, and I have to stop following these kind of people. But they're lost, and they, yeah.
Ruben, you got two types of people in the world according to the Bible. 1 John 3:10. You got sons of the devil and sons of God. I mean, that's as basic as St. John the Apostle says it. Sons of the devil and mm-hmm. sons of God. Bill Gates, by all basically criteria, is a son of the devil.
That's right. We'll be right back. Change that dial.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people. You know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
many
it.
Out there.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And Jess, we're going to finish up that just the tail end of that article, and then we can talk about the next one about the church attacks.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of the takeaways from this dreadful COVID-19 exercise is just how ripe the world appears to be for the coming of the Antichrist. The author says, look at just how easily the forces of evil acting in the world today have managed to exercise near total control of the narrative in order to deceive the nations. See how quickly so many of the world's rulers fell in line, consenting to the demands of the self-proclaimed authorities, some eagerly, others more reluctantly. Consider how the lockdown was sanctimoniously sold to the naive as a life-affirming, we're all in this together initiative, only to be revealed plainly for the weapon against both God and humanity that it is. And witness how clearly the battle lines have been drawn between the godly and the godless, as circumstances have forced everyone to choose a side. And note how swiftly the ruling class was able to separate the people from the mass, from the sacraments, and from one another, all with barely a whimper from even so-called traditionalist churchmen. It's enough to make one wonder if the fullness of the Antichrist time is come.
If the Antichrist is here, Reuben, he's seen how easy it is to control people. And it, I'll tell you, it's going to be pretty easy at the end because, again, most people just want to get along. And, you know, most people have this innate understanding that we're supposed to obey government and stuff, you know, that there's a, what's called, you know, patriarchal civil authority and comes from God. And we understand that. It's built in our DNA.
Yeah.
And so if they move to the next step and they say, okay, now everybody has to have a universal vaccine, naughty, naughty, naughty. If you don't cooperate, you can't go to the ATM, you can't go to church, you right. can't go to the gym, you can't go to restaurants, you can't, you know, fly in an airplane, naughty, naughty, naughty. They're just going to browbeat people mm-hmm. and just force people to say, oh, man, okay, I, you know, everything's opening up, you know, all my neighbors, everybody's enjoying the society and economy again. You know, I don't want to just stand out like a nerd here and my kids are going to say, hey, mom, dad, everybody else is out there out and about. How come we're in our house and dad can't go to work and stuff? It's going to be very easy, Reuben, for them to implement this universal vaccine. Again, what's in that vaccine? Bill Gates is behind it. I don't know. Nobody knows what's in that vaccine. I've heard Father Ripperger. He said this and he has it's I like the way he explains it. He said, look at. Ultimately, a lot of people are very, really, really afraid about, oh, no, no, this vaccine. He says, you know what? All of us are going to die. Every one of us. The fact is, are we afraid of dying? Isn't our faith in Christ? If we die in grace, in sanctifying grace, it doesn't matter what the government does to us. I mean, the government in times past in the Roman Empire, they would behead people. They would light people up on fire by putting tar in your body and tie you up on a pole and light you up. They would impale you. They would throw you to the lions. Government, when it gets too big, it always kills the people. I mean, this may be just the way they're going to kill most of us off is through this injection.
Maybe.
You know, it's just possible what I'm saying. But again, the big point is this. If you're in a state of sanctifying grace and don't you ever deny the Lord Jesus Christ or your Catholic faith to your dying breath, you know, what awaits us on the other side is beyond our wildest dreams.
Amen. Yeah, well said, Jesse. You see it with our leaders not standing up to the government, you know, and we're still out there praying at the cathedral, and those other groups that are joining in all across the nation, they're getting people's attention in the church. Let's put it that way. I don't know if you heard this, but Father Burfett from the SSPX in Arcadia sued the governor his attorneys. So God bless him. You know, he's being a leader out there to for his flock. So let's see where that goes.
Well, I know John MacArthur and some other Protestants are also have a lawsuit. I don't know where that's at right now.
Yeah, they won the case, but then the state appealed it. So I believe it's
on appeal.
The next court. Yeah,
got it.
All right. So the next topic we're going to talk about is, after a wave of church attacks, U.S. bishops call for more security funding. And the U.S. Bishops Religious Freedom Chair has called for better protection of churches and other houses of worship following a recent series of acts of vandalism. Archbishop Thomas Winsky of Miami joined other religious leaders in a letter to congressional leaders on Monday asking for quadrupled funding of a federal security grant program for nonprofits. He quotes, "Our sacred spaces have been desecrated, our faithful murdered," Archbishop Winsky and other Christian Jewish, Muslim, and Sikh leaders said in their letter. They wrote that we believe that all people ought to be free from fear when gathering for religious worship and service. You want to pick it up from there, Jess?
Yeah, let me continue here.
According to the FBI.
According to the FBI statistics cite in the letter, at least 1,244 hate crimes were committed in 2018 against members of the various denominations and congregations represented. FBI Director Christopher Wray, in his testimony before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee on September 24th, said that houses of worship are increasingly becoming preferred targets by lone wolf attackers. The greatest threat we face in the homeland is that posed by lone actors radicalized online who look to attack soft targets with easily accessible weapons, Wray said. Many of these attackers choose targets which have more and more included large public gatherings, houses of worship, and retail locations. Archbishop Winsky and the other leaders asked that the funding for the nonprofit security grant program be quadrupled in 2021 to $360 million. The program enables beneficiaries to make security improvements, such as training or emergency planning, upgrading security systems, or making renovations. And only one-third of applications considered for the program were funded in the 2019 fiscal year, according to the U.S. Bishops Conference. At a time of increasing extremism and antagonism towards different religious groups and religion in general, we believe significant increased funding for this important government program in the fiscal year 2021 is imperative. My only problem with all this, Ruben, is that we don't need more government. Again, when you start, give us more money for security here at the parish, it's a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
You know, you owe them something. You owe them favors. I'm all for security.
Yeah.
This should be done by the men in the parish, you know, giving each other their cell phones, saying, hey, you know, I'm coming to this mess. I pack. I got a gun here. I got a gun there. I'll stand over here. I don't want government money to come in here because, again,
and you're beholden to the government. Yeah.
Yes. This is a whore. And it's a bishop that's asking for money. Archbishop Winsky. Mm-hmm. Doesn't he realize this is just a move? It's just a soft sell to socialism. It's a horrible idea. This should be we should use the principle of subsidiarity and let every parish and every diocese and every cathedral come together with lay Catholics there and figure out their own security plan.
Yeah, just about every church has Knights of Columbus. Why they need to get together and say, hey, look, we're going to stop selling burritos after Mass. Let's just start, at our parish, they make pretty good pancakes. I'm not going to lie to you, but they need to start doing a different mission here and just putting their head on a swivel and looking for suspicious activity. And just think during the Crusades, you know, those were lay people, and you know, the Knights Templar, they got together, they ended up doing some missions and it was pretty successful. And so I really
all for the express purpose of defending Holy Mother Church.
That's right.
And sometimes it has to be physical, yeah, not only spiritual. Spiritual always, prayer and faith, but sometimes you have to get your hands dirty.
Right. When violent men want to do harm to our family and our friends and our churches, it's going to take other people who are capable of violence to put them down. And some people don't realize that. You know, like you just said, it's not pretty sometimes when force has to be used. But I also would want the churches to prosecute to the full extent of the law. I mean, yeah, we're supposed to forgive our neighbor and you know, and pray for those who persecute us. But by golly, you know, I'm still sick to my stomach of that nothing's been done with the San Gabriel mission. You know, it just let it go. Like, oh, it could have been from the workers. And in the middle of the night, come on, you know. Yeah. They just let it go, and statues are being knocked down and trampled underfoot. And I think they need to, the bishops need to speak out sternly. Like, hey, whoever wants to do this is going to be, we're going to prosecute to the full extent of the law, and you know, not just give them a slap on the wrist.
You know what? Our bishops need to worry about getting us to heaven. They need to worry about giving us the sacraments of the church. They shouldn't be worrying about asking government money to you know, put security systems in the parish. That's the job of the lay person.
Yeah.
It's the lay person that's called to do that. And again, a lot of our bishops have just lost. They've just lost sight of their apostolic mission. I mean, where in the Bible can you see St. Paul worrying about security systems? He was worried about preaching the gospel and saving people's souls. Let me just finish up this article here. Mm-hmm. It says, while Catholic churches and other houses of worship were vandalized or attacked in recent years, including deadly mass shootings at synagogues in Pittsburgh and California in 2018 and 19, attacks have been reported all around the country over the summer and into the fall. In September, for example, statues were toppled, destroyed at churches and cathedrals in Utah, New York, and Texas. Acts of arson were suspected, investigated, or determined at churches in Florida, Boston, and California over the summer. And statues at other churches were vandalized in Tennessee, California, and Colorado. Let me tell you, it's just open season right now on the Catholic faith. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at what's happening right now at the Senate confirmation hearings under Democrats who are grilling Amy Comey Barrett. And basically, why are they attacking her? She, you know, she's the temple of the Holy Spirit. They're attacking her because she's a practicing Catholic and believes in the teachings of the church. Not only do they attack our churches, Ruben, the left, they also attack our people that are trying to practice our faith. And if you want to see how many attacks they've launched against Catholic churches, go to complicitclergy.com, complicitclergy.com, and there's an interactive map there that shows you all the attacks on Catholic churches around the country. Ruben, I'm out. I got to go do another secular interview on the Trump campaign. So,
okay,
I'll see you tomorrow.
We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we're back talking about the destruction of some of the churches all across the country. And you know, it reminds me of something that I used to talk about in my law enforcement career. And I don't know who coined the phrase, but I know several people who've used it. But it goes like this: fear has two meanings, forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. The choice is yours, fight or flight. We always fight, you know. In fact, I used to say, like, we may make a tactical retreat, but only to reengage. So that's where, you know, I used to say, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And we never become complacent. That was one thing I drilled into the heads of my trainees, is you cannot become complacent. We're at that stage now in our faith, in our churches. We cannot become complacent, because you think you've grown up thinking, oh, everything the priest and the bishops have told us was, you know, is spot on. And you know, in fact, over the last 50 years, that's why people weren't learning their faith, because, oh, sister so-and-so, you know, she's going to teach us, or father so-and-so is going to teach us. And it didn't come to pass. And over the last 50 years, we've had poor catechesis, and look at the mess that we're in. But you can't take away, you know, my dad used to tell me that, you know, whatever knowledge you gain from school or whatever, they can't take that away from you. So knowledge is power. We have to learn our faith, you know, so that we can share our faith and know the errors. You know, when you have when someone is speaking from the pulpit, you know, whether he be in a collar or, you know, he's wearing a mitre, you know, you have to know what the church teaches, so that when someone speaks something that doesn't just sound right, you know, the hairs on the back of your neck are going to go up, and you're going to say, hey, there's something that doesn't make sense about what he's saying. I know that I've read, my faith teaches me this, and I'm hearing this. So, and just like when we used to approach a car, I'm sorry, I'm giving you all these analogies from work, but we would approach a car, and we had this sixth sense about us, and if we had, there was fear, you know, fear is a good thing you don't let it control you, but we would walk up on the car and you'd see a bunch of knuckleheads in there, and you don't know if someone's armed, you know, you suspect they are. So you take precautions, and when you see furtive movements, you see, things that we call hinky, you know, their behavior, the look on their faces, they're looking away from you. And so all these things would put us on guard. We have to be on guard with our faith. You know, it doesn't matter if a priest or bishop says one thing, if the church has never preached that, you know, our faith does not depend on what one priest or one bishop, or God forbid, even the Pope says. It's what the church has always said. Okay, we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ that goes back 2,000 years. And so, you know, sometimes I'll be attacked, but how dare you say that what the Pope said doesn't sound right? How dare you? You know, and you know, the Pope isn't infallible when he's just preaching as a you know, on his own. It's only when he's sitting on the chair, from the chair of Peter, and speaking ex cathedra, and he has to say it, you know. So remember, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and come follow me. So we want to, that was Matthew 16:24. We want to embrace that with resignation, you know, every cross that he's going to give us, you know, with courage. We got to have courage and, you know, ask for those, you know, the virtues that, are going to get us there, that you received at your confirmation. And if you don't believe what we were talking about, of some of the destruction, I pulled up a few things, what's going on across the nation. And on the morning of July 11th, I believe it was, in September, a Catholic church in Florida, they saw a guy walked in, tried to burn it down. The priest is asking for prayers for the man and thanked God that the church survived the attack. The surveillance video shows a young man shirtless and wearing a surgical mask and white gloves breaking into the church and pouring a jug of clear liquid on several of the wooden pews before setting them alight. He fled as the flames erupted, apparently without stealing anything. And the incident happened around 10:36 p.m. At the Incarnation Catholic Church in Town and Country, Florida, immediately northwest of Tampa. So the firemen came and put the fire out, destroyed the front section and of the pews, and the suspect's outstanding. But he's wearing a mask, you know. So going back to our previous article, so wearing a mask, that's it makes people, they're able to walk without recognition with masks on and disguising their appearance. And more things are happening because of these masks. You know, I would venture to say that, you know, more destruction is happening with masks on than people catching COVID without masks. But that's just me. Anyway, on July 11th, a man crashed a minivan through the front door of Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Ocala, Florida. I believe that was an FSSP church. He then set the church aflame while parishioners inside prepared for morning mass. And the police arrested him. My Anthony Shields of Dunnellan, Florida. Later that day, he was charged with attempted murder, arson, burglary, and evading arrest. And then also in July, as yet, an unidentified assailant beheaded a statue of Christ, the Good Shepherd, at a parish in the Archdiocese of Miami in southwest Miami-Dade County. In 2019, the co-cathedral of the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, was damaged by fire, with several of the chairs in the sanctuary set ablaze using an accelerant. So a 32-year-old man with a history of mental illness was later arrested in connection with the arson. And then elsewhere in the United States, you know, Catholic statues and church buildings, they've been vandalized this year, including several statues in California of Junipero Serra, St. Junipero Serra, that have been pulled down by mobs. In Brooklyn on July 10th, the diocese announced that the New York City police were investigating a vandalism of a statue of the Virgin Mary at Cathedral Prep School and Seminary in Queens. And the next day, local police in Boston confirmed that a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary located outside the Church of St. Peter's Parish had been set on fire and damaged. And as I mentioned, the 249-year-old mission San Gabriel in Los Angeles, a mission church founded by St. Sarah, was burned, attacked. Thank God the sanctuary wasn't destroyed, nor were the you know, the relics that were in there. So they're starting their reconstruction. And in September, a man broke at least six windows, beat several metal doors, and broke numerous statues around the grounds of a Louisiana parish in a late-night vandalism attack that lasted over 2 hours. This assailant has been arrested and confessed to the crime. And then also, in September, a vandal entered the sanctuary of St. Peter's Cathedral in El Paso, destroyed it, and a nearly 90-year-old statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And this is not just in here in California. This is going on in Europe. You know, can't tell you how many churches have been set ablaze over there. So we have to be vigilant of these attackers. We have to help our parish priests out. Get the local guys together and just put a team together. There's some groups out there. I don't have the information on them, but there are some security agencies that train church groups to what to look for and how to set up a team. And you don't have to come from a military or law enforcement background, but that would help. So I would definitely try to talk to those people who are able to carry, you know, and not that it's going to turn to physical violence, like deadly force, but just knowing that's an option, you know, somebody, you know, brings a weapon to conflict, you know, to come and do harm to the prisoners, you would hope that there's somebody there that can put them down with equal or greater force. And I'm sad that we have to talk about these kind of things, but this is the world we're living in. And, you know, so in our faith walk, remember that in our faith walk, there's no standing still, okay? You're either going forward or you're going backwards. There's no treading water in our faith walk. So again, learning our faith, knowing what it is that the church asks of us, and then also on the flip side, to be able to defend Holy Mother Church from attack and protect our priests and our bishops. So we don't want to be, comatose Catholics, you know, our comatose piety. You know, we don't want to be lukewarm. We want to fall in love, head over heels in love with the person of Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, everything changes. It's a personal, like, you know, our separated brothers talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I'll tell them, yeah, I have a personal relationship. I receive Jesus down on my tongue, down my throat, into my stomach, and you know, his body fills my veins and runs through my blood. But you know, there's that falling in love, like when you think about, you know, when you fell in love with your significant other, your spouse, you know, you couldn't love her like you do today until you got to know her. So just the same way with Jesus Christ in our church, the more you know her, the greater you love her. St. Thomas Aquinas said, you know, you cannot love what you do not know, and you can only love what you do know to the extent that you know it. So without that knowledge, and it's, you know, it'll go from the head to the heart, you know, that 12 inches or 11 inches from the head to the heart, when you embrace it with your heart, and you'll go to the ends of the earth to protect and to love and serve Holy Mother Church. And we want to be part of that remnant, ladies and gentlemen. We do not want to be on the outskirts, okay? Make sure you fill up your lanterns with oil, and you have the, you don't want to be like those women in the Bible who didn't come prepared, and the bridegroom was coming and they had to go get oil for their lanterns. You don't want to miss Jesus when he comes. So I know we talked about a lot of things today. We were all over the place. But anyway, the message is, you know, love your faith, live your faith, share your faith. And if you like the show, we also would like you to like, hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube, and share it with others. Bring others to the table, to this discussion, so that we can become one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And you've been listening to Jesus 911. We're getting ready for a hands-on apologetics with Gary Mishuta. So don't miss it. Gary always has wonderful guests. We are 10-7. I am out.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.